And let us pray. Holy God, this is the time when we quiet our hearts and minds to pay attention, to really pay attention to what you have to say to us today. Fill us with your word and give us understanding by your Holy Spirit, that having heard your word, we may live lives worthy of you, pleasing in every way. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in our responsive reading from Psalm 111, printed in your bulletins. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Our third reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the leper, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our final reading this morning is today's by special request. So this sermon request comes from Cindy Burke. And particularly, she requested 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. But to give you the fuller picture of the passage, the reading we have today starts at verse 1 and then runs through verse 8. So here again, what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many faithful witnesses, entrust to the faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As far as we know, or as far as we can tell, this book of 2 Timothy, where our reading this morning comes from, is the Apostle Paul's very last letter. It's the very last letter he ever wrote to a beloved friend and a co-worker. He is writing from a Roman jail cell, chained like a criminal for his faith, imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, which made so many people insecure and feared that the government would be overthrown. Though Paul has written many letters to many churches to be read by many believers, this letter is special. This letter is just for Timothy, Paul's young protege, the one he calls his own son in the faith. A third-generation believer following in the faithful footsteps of his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. This letter is just for him. And so with this last letter, Paul wants to speak words of light into the darkness of Timothy's world for the situation that is going on in the early church. For life in the early church was tenuous at best, because churches were not well-established institutions with good financing and lots of people coming and going. They were still small groups meeting in homes. Persecution is also on the rise, and each day people are defecting from the church. People are walking away. Paul writes about this in the first part of this letter. In prison and alone, his thoughts are turning to the people who are not remaining steadfast, but those who are wandering away, specifically naming Phygellus and Hermogenes, two of Timothy's own flock from his church in Ephesus, leaders who have left the church. So on top of still being small and not very organized and persecution being on the rise, on top of all that, Paul, who is Christianity's biggest advocate and preacher in that day, is chained like a criminal in a jail cell. He's miles and miles and miles away from Timothy, who at this point probably doesn't even know if Paul is still dead, is still alive, or has died. Until he gets this letter. This letter which is a light shining in the darkness, just for him. Now life looks different, I think, when you're looking death right in the eye, like Paul was. He had escaped any number of previous arrests and trials and stays in jails and floggings and beatings, but he knew he wasn't going to get out of this one. Life looks different when you know the end is near. And when you read these words of 2 Timothy compared to some of Paul's other letters, you can hear that reflected in his letter. There's a special clarity and serenity and finality in what he writes. Because this is his last chance to impart his greatest wisdom and his dearest hope to his young friend. For the future of the church, and indeed for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So his main concern, out of all of the things he could have written about to Timothy, his main concern is that Timothy choose wisely in entrusting to worthy leaders the traditions he himself had received, namely the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. After watching these leaders fall away from the church, Paul wants to protect Timothy from trusting the wrong people. And so he writes to him, "You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well." Be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus, Paul says to Timothy. And this precious gift that I have given to you is now yours to give to others. Don't give it to just anybody, he says. Choose wisely. Choose one who is obedient like a soldier. Someone who is not easily distracted from the mission. Someone who expects trouble and perseveres anyway. Choose one who is disciplined like an athlete, skilled in preparation, and able to run the race with great courage and determination. Choose one who is like a farmer, patiently persistent, awaiting the harvest with steady, intentional, and faithful hard work. It is a radical thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and it requires a radical commitment, an energetic preparation, and steady perseverance. And Paul is telling Timothy, find those people and give to them the gift that I have given to you. Now, to our ears, this may sound a little overwhelming and quite possibly an impossible task to try to be someone who is like a soldier and obedient and like an athlete and disciplined in preparation and like a farmer who is patiently persistent. It seems like an overwhelming task to be the kind of person who could be entrusted with the gospel in order to pass the gospel along to other people. But you know what? Church is not for wimps. Church is not for wimps, and the gospel is not for lazy people. Salvation and wholeness and shalom are far too important to be put into the hands of timid or fearful people. There will be suffering. There will be persecution. There will be conflicts. There will be disappointments. But believers, and leaders in the church must endure them all. In this very last letter, full of the most important things, Paul reminds Timothy and us that character is critical. And his intention is not to overwhelm us, but to inspire us, not to devastate us, but to exhort us to good deeds and faithfulness in ministry. He says the life of faith is hard. He makes no bones about that. He says, look at me, I'm in chains for my faith. But the secret is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, not your own strength. To stand up, even if it means standing alone. So this last little letter of Paul, which I encourage you to just sit down and read this afternoon. It's only a couple of chapters long. Just sit down and read it from beginning to end. It's a very special little letter, different from pretty much all of the other letters that Paul wrote, because it was just meant for a particular person in a particular place at a particular time. But once it gets included in the canon of Scripture, it becomes a letter to all of us. Paul's words of wisdom to his son in the faith about character and perseverance in the faith of suffering are words for us now, too. Sitting in a jail cell, facing certain death, Paul needed to know there was someone who could carry on the torch for him. At least one person who wouldn't fall away, who would be faithful, even when it seemed like everyone else was faithless. For Paul, that one was Timothy. And for someone in your life, or even in this church, that one is you. Friends, it only takes one person. It only takes one person who refuses to give up. One scrappy and determined person to turn a whole situation around. Even when it feels like everyone else is jumping ship, as it must have felt to Paul, alone and lonely in his jail cell. It just takes one person to turn the tide. So my friend, someone needs you to be obedient. And someone needs you to be disciplined. And someone needs you to be persistent in your faith and in your life. Someone needs you to be the one to stand up, even if it means standing alone. Because you will give them the courage to stand up as well. Hear these words once again from Paul to Timothy and now to all of us. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.